Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, thank you for joining me on this wonderful Sunday that it is. Not an extremely heavy news day, but definitely some important things to talk about. Something to do with drills before shootings, interesting censorship taking place on Gab, a follow-up on the story with Israel and their bombing of a hospital, not much of a shock there, and definitely some positive news to end on today. But a couple of quick notes before we get started. I just wanted to throw something out there for those to maybe potentially solve the crisis of not getting notified, which YouTube seems to fail at with absolute continuance for everybody that really talks about the truth. You can check out the new TLAV community on Wire. It's an app you can download or on your computer, something that Weta Coalition in the chat just showed me, and I'll be able to ping the community before I go live so you guys can know when I'm about to go live, something that YouTube should be able to handle, but clearly just kind of have a glitch, I guess, you know, as glitches go. So you can check us out on Wire. Just search for TLAV community or The Last American Vagabond. Weta in the chat can help you guys figure that out if you want to help join. No obligation, but something you can do to combat that problem and get a notification before the live show begins, which would be novel, would it not? And another quick note, coming up tomorrow on Monday, I will likely get the show out tomorrow. It won't be recorded live, but it will be posted. I have a long-awaited interview with Whitney Webb from Mint Press News. We'll be talking about a lot of foreign policy, specifically Yemen and what's going on there, which, in my opinion, as you know, is one of the most important things going on in the world today. A very horrific thing happening there on a regular basis, people being killed, starved to death, with the help of the United States government. So keep your eyes out for that. I'm really looking forward to interviewing her. I greatly respect her work, and hopefully you guys will enjoy the interview as well. So let's get into the first story of the day. Something that really struck me as interesting, something I've been spending most of the day trying to actually independently verify more than just this article. This was sent to me by a few different people, so thank you for those that did. Coming from Tribe Live, it looks like, or Trib Live. And they're reporting, and this was an old article apparently, from January 24th, reporting active shooter drill planned for Thursday night in Squirrel Hill, Darlington Road to close. Now, this is the exact, not necessarily exact, but the specific location of the synagogue shooting. Now, I wanted to make sure before I even put this forward that I could verify that this was actually something that went down. Now, this Tribe Live does appear to be a genuine news organization with plenty of ways to verify that. But I should point out that it's not very difficult for any website to put out an article and simply backdate it. And it's very easy to make it look like this was something that did happen. Something in my gut does tell me that this event is being used in a way to make us think that this is a false flag or a hoax and call it as such for many different reasons, one of them being just simply to discredit the independent media. A couple of the reasons I think that is because we saw things such as a newscaster herself saying, "Oh, I thought this was a drill," which, what a weird thing to say, as well as a rabbi himself saying, "Yeah, we just had a drill." Really nailing that down. And a lot of really interesting things that seemed very forced and evident in all of this. That being said, taking this at face value, I want to note on the fact that it's very, very important to ask this question. What are the odds of having a planned active shooter drill in a location before such shootings happen? Now, not before any shooting happens, mind you, but before a shooting happens that specifically the mainstream media chooses to cover in the manner that they do. As I pointed out on my last show about this, there's any number of shootings that happen on a given day. Even the last week, there were other shootings, two, in fact, at different churches. Why do they choose not to cover those? Why do they choose to cover this one? Why have people been chanting and marching and speaking and going over the top about this shooting? Could it be just because of the timing of it? Could it be that it was planned? Absolutely. I'm not saying I know that for sure, and anybody that does is misleading you. Nobody knows whether this is the case. There's far too much false certainty out there today. But the point I make is that it is never wrong to ask yourself, is this false flag? Is this a hoax? Are we being lied to? And anyone that tries to pretend like that's just crazy, how dare you ask such a question, is ignorant of the facts or being blind to the reality of the situation. False flags in this country specifically have a grandiose, obvious, verifiable history in this country, carried out by the U.S. government, as well as long before this country ever existed. So the idea of such an event being created for political reasons or for any number of reasons is a legitimate question. So those that try to make it seem otherwise are either just blinding themselves or trying to mislead. Now, the idea of such a false flag, the idea of, of such an active drill happening before this, always, as we've shown many times on this show, almost without fail, the shootings that they choose to cover the way that they do, or these large events that we point out, the sheer mathematical possibility that it can always have a drill like this prior to it, even months before like this, is almost astronomical. It's simply not possible, or as I should say, very, very, very unlikely that they would have a drill like this before any kind of shooting that the mainstream media chooses to cover. For, at the very least, is a reason to ask yourself, is there more to this story? Is there more going on here? Now, as this article points out themselves, this was in Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County, and the police involved with the FBI, which I found very relevant, were reporting that they were going to hold a shooter drill on this night in Squirrel Hill. The drill apparently was to take place at 8 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center. Very relevant. They said residents may notice a large police presence in the area. They said the exercise is to ensure the area is prepared and ready to respond to an active shooter situation. And I should also point out that, yeah, there are a lot of active shooter drills in schools, which is part of the whole PSYOP here, to get you fearful. But you could go to any number of churches around the world and they wouldn't have just had one within the last few months. So it's just very interesting. You could also theorize that maybe they were aware that there was an active shooter drill. That's why they chose to, but it just doesn't make sense. They go on to say the exercise would have included apprehending a shooter, evacuations, and treating victims at the scene. At least 50 volunteers from the Squirrel Hill community and the Jewish Community Center staff themselves served as role players in this exercise. Something does not smell right here. Now, as I said in the very beginning, it's possible that this entire page and even the entire news organization is created just to sell it like this. So we think that this is the case, which is also a logical thing to ask. But just understand that it is a logical question to ask yourself whether or not this kind of thing is real, whether or not we are being misled for any number of reasons. Don't allow the mainstream media to cow you into the corner and say, you conspiracy theorist, you shouldn't be asking these stupid questions, to gaslight you into thinking that you're dumb for thinking these, that you're just this crazy madman, when there is mountains of evidence to suggest that this is likely the case. So ask these questions, drive this home, as our videos get censored for doing so. Also, tells us something. Now, by the way, I will keep track of anything else that pops up in regard to this drill, in regard to the shooting itself, that seems suspect. It doesn't mean we should just reflexively call everything and anything a hoax or a false flag, because it's simply not the case. But when we see the mainstream media choose a story out of nowhere and choose to cover it, when we've shown demonstratively that there's other ones that have recently happened and they didn't cover it, there's reason for question, without a doubt. Now, in related stories that happened following this shooting that I also found to be very relevant and quite frustrating, this is from Zero Hedge. PayPal bans social network Gab.com after synagogue attacker revealed as user, which is just ridiculous. It's attacking. And it's also very relevant in the larger discussion that we're having in regard to banning people, let's say, for the comments that are made in their chats, or holding these groups accountable like this is not only extremely one-sided, it's designed to do exactly what it's doing, to continue to stifle free thought, to make people self-censor, and to increase the relevance in their eyes of future censorship. This story is very alarming and very relevant. Now, as the report, hours after it was revealed that Saturday's Tree of Life synagogue shooting, the suspect that was in fact a user of the social media network Gab, as well as likely many others, as I'll get to in a moment, PayPal then severed all ties with the platform with no explanation. Just because this person used their platform. Just think about that. They were not endorsing his actions. They're claiming that just because he chose to, and I guess somehow didn't alarm, see something, say something, even though they to monitor everything that everyone says at any given moment, is technically what they claim they don't do, mind you. Weird little issue there that they, how, you know, that you didn't report on this, but we don't look at everything. We don't keep track of everyone, but you should have reported that. Now, following the shooting, Gabb quickly removed Bauer's account immediately and sent all information to the FBI and DOJ and issued a full statement confirming the alleged attacker's presence, or I guess now we know it was the attacker, as they claim, his presence on the site, and noting that Gabb had taken immediate action with the moment they found out, unlike, mind you, other social media platforms that he was a part of. This apparently wasn't enough for PayPal. And it's important to note that PayPal didn't sever ties with Facebook, despite Bauer's presence on that site, spreading very similar content, or Instagram for that matter, after it was revealed that the Parkland shooter, Nicholas Cruz, posted pictures of weapons to the network. So why Gabb? Why now? Of course, many people are running, you know, it's a right-wing conspiracy. We need to begin to look past the left-right paradigm. These actions, although relevant to a certain lower level degree in many of these ideas, are much bigger than that. And there's a bigger thing going on here. So it's important to think about this. Now, in another related story, the following this, I immediately just realized that I forgot to turn my microphone down, as somebody recently asked me. So for that viewer, I apologize if the sound is too high. I will remember to do that in the future. It just struck me as I'm talking that I forgot to do that. In this next story that is incredibly relevant, and it shows you that this goes well beyond just social media, but can actually begin to attack websites, which is alarming for those of us in the independent media, and which is the next logical step in what they're doing. This entitled Gabb booted by hosting company after synagogue shooting. And of course, their chief tech officer steps down. This is a very real thing we're seeing here. Not only that the site itself is being removed from this hosting company, or rather they're being forced and pressured to do so, but that it's affecting the company itself and people are beginning to leave because they simply can't deal with it. Now, following the shooting, Gabb was given a notice by its hosting provider, similar to what it got from PayPal. And this is Joyent. I'm not very familiar with this group, but I recommend that you maybe send them some harsh words or stop using them if it's a company that's willing to simply just kick somebody off a hosting platform for the actions of people that they're not accountable for. And that many actually argue the difference, saying, well, they are accountable for all these people. But that implies that they're monitoring all the things you say and the content you put out. And they are to some degree. But we have to understand there's a very fine line of simply surveilling everyone and everything they do and monitoring for problematic content. And they pretend that that's a very easy thing to discern, but that's not the case. And that's why we're increasingly becoming more surveilled, more controlled, which is what they want. Now, this hosting provider, Jayant, they were given a notice by them that they had until Monday, and apparently this coming Monday, to move the website elsewhere before they would just disable it, which is a shocking thing to do for a company as large as they are in such a short period of time. Now, remember that Robert Powers posted, the shooter posted to other social media networks, while plenty of bigoted, threatening, and hateful content exists on the likes of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Twitter, more than anything I've ever seen, aggressive, outright, bigoted, hateful, threatening content, much of which we pointed out come from very mainstream stars and well-known people. And, you know, on both sides of the two-party paradigm, threatening to lock people up with pedophiles, children, and, you know, and there's examples from both sides of the two-party deception. But they do it. And of course, when it doesn't align with a certain agenda, they don't touch it. Now, remember, we pointed out many times, people like Titus Frost and Honeybee will report on blatantly apparent pedophilic channels and handles, it's a blanking on the word all of a sudden, but the group that will report on them, and then we'll just remain for weeks, months even. There was an entire story that broke, and everybody was even reporting on it on all kinds of anti-media, the Free Thought Project, and we would look back and the channel would still be there with blatant pedophilic images while they're censoring independent media. So just ask yourself why they're now going after this guy, excuse me, this company, while these kind of things still exist. Now, Gab secured a new hosting company for those that were worried relatively quickly. And then the sad thing is apparently Gab's chief technology officer announced on Sunday that he was leaving the company because the, quote, attacks from the American press have been relentless for 2 years now and have taken a toll on me personally, he says. By the way, profiles was the word I just couldn't manage to pull out of my brain for whatever reason. These gross profiles that are out there. Now, I should note that the claims people make about Gab and, you know, being a right-wing kind of concept, there's some general truth to that. But regardless, it doesn't make any difference to this kind of an action, claiming that they should attack just this group and just this platform while leaving places like Facebook and Twitter alone. And there's also a very important thing to recognize there, why Facebook and Twitter are somehow above this whole idea. It's very clearly because those are the ones being set up to be monopolized, to be enshrined as the next telephone, because that's what they want. That's what the government wants. That's what Twitter wants. That's what Facebook wants. That's what Google and YouTube want. They want to be controlled by the government, as they're already a part of the government. It's very clear to a large degree, working with the Atlantic Council and NATO and all these very clear connections to the government, so that that's our only means of communication on this medium, on the internet, so they can control it. Gab poses a threat to that, as does Steemit and DTube and BitChute and all of the alternative platforms. And that, for me, is why I think this is happening. Not left-right paradigm, but simply challenging the establishment order. Very important to recognize. We'll keep up on the story and hopefully, you know, report. I mean, clearly, see, Gab seems to be in the clear, but I doubt this is the end for this kind of an action. I actually feel like soon we're going to see attacks on the hosting companies for groups such as the Anti-Media, the Free Thought Project, and anybody involved in the independent media. And I truly hope not, but we'll be here to report on it. Moving on to the next story coming from the Anti-Media.com. Very alarming development that we all expected to see. The Pentagon, coming from the Pentagon, troops will bring barricades, helicopters to the Mexico border. Now, this is indeed happening. Now, I had no doubt that it was. Trump already said he ultimately was going to do this. But the militarization of the border is an alarming step. And as I continue to point out, if this happened under Obama, we would hear to no end the threats of martial law. Oh my God, this is the end. They're going to do martial law. But now, because it's Trump somehow, it's not. And I just can't wrap my mind around that concept. But on Friday, the Pentagon confirmed that around 800 troops... we saw many reports of, we hadn't actually confirmed, but the Pentagon has confirmed 800 troops will be deployed to the border in Mexico. This will include both active duty troops and National Guard troops, and will join the apparent 2,100 National Guard troops that are already there, which is also kind of staggering to realize. The Pentagon also mentions helicopters will be sent for the sake of moving personnel, they claim, but is also, it's noteworthy to realize that they will have helicopters, and it'll be even more noteworthy what kind of helicopters they choose to send. But this 2,100 National Guard troops already there have had their mission panned as mostly useless, apparently, to the border security. And adding another 800 to that mission, many say, doesn't seem likely to change much, which is an important thing to realize. If the 2,100 already there are, to all acknowledgement on the border, not really doing much for the border security, why would they add another 800? It's important to realize that this is a precedent being sent. This idea of having military in control of things like this. And remember things like the Patriot Act, that were this, you know, this temporary need in this moment of terror for everyone that was temporary and then never ended. This may be something just like that. Just a thought. I have no reason to truly think that other than what we've seen in the past, but it may go from here that we just always have a militarized border from now on. That doesn't seem like a very free country to me. Now, Pentagon officials downplayed the seriousness of the mission, saying they don't intend the troops to engage in direct border enforcement. Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen, I think it's Kristjen with a J, it's weirdly spelled, I believe it's Kristjen Nielsen, however, insisted that the U.S. has a sovereign right, she says, to use troops to capture immigrants A weird way to phrase that. Adding, quote, we do not have any intention right now to shoot at people. This is just a very, very alarming concept. Like, I get that, I understand that I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that this is not a dangerous situation, that we should just let 17,000 or however many people they're saying it is now flood into the country. But these are civilians. Even if we are concerned, maybe there are some people that have infiltrated this, to use military force, potentially even shooting people, as she clearly insinuated is a potential possibility. We don't have the intention to shoot people right now, she says. To shoot at people that are civilians is a very dangerous escalation. These are not armed militants marching at the border. Has to be dealt with the right way. Now, I understand that this is a sensitive situation, and I do not believe that I really align with either side of the false two-party paradigm. I think this, at the end of the day, is being used to elicit an emotional response, to get us arguing with each other, and again, force us to the voting booth. But the way this is developing is a very alarming step, and I think has an alarming vision for where our future is going, and maybe that's the whole reason this is being carried out. Now, as the author notes, President Trump has been increasingly desperate in calling for crackdowns on the border, terming it a national emergency. It's not clear, however, that the public would react positively to a kinetic military operation, meaning physical, along the U.S. border involving casualties among civilian migrants. So just bear that in mind, what we're talking about. Despite all of the claims of Middle Easterns in the group and, you know, the dangerous, the people funding it, which we have no evidence to back up, if they're just blindly trusting our government officials, thinking that this, when they say kinetic, meaning like shooting, fighting, active combat with civilians, if it's a very dangerous situation. So we'll keep track of this, but I think the way it's already gone, it's, we're already in a very dangerous point here. And I truly think, is even as we talked about the 100-mile Constitution free zone, which just continues to just baffle me that is even in existence today, that these people living in this 100-mile Constitution free zone just don't have rights, apparently, has already continued to grow around this country. These things don't seem to be going away. They always seem to find another threat, another reason to justify what they've always wanted to do. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com in regard to a follow-up, if you will, of a story, but I feel like some important points in this story that are very relevant. This entitled, Israel Strikes Gaza Hospital During Massive Response to Islamic Jihad Rocket Attacks. Now, the fact that they attacked this hospital is really the main point for me, but the idea that they're continuing to force the idea that this is Hamas was behind this. But now it's turning out, widely regarded, that they in fact weren't behind this. Now, Israeli Defense Forces said it destroyed 80 Hamas targets in the operation, they claim, which had been somewhat expected since a week ago, as we reported. They began staging unprecedented buildup, building up their forces with tanks even, along the Israeli-Gaza border fence. Now, sporadic bombings continued through Saturday morning. A terrorist group operating in Gaza, which often acts independently of Hamas, called Islamic Jihad, is implicitly claiming that they're responsible for this rocket fire. And many people have even followed up with this. It is, in fact, Islamic Jihad behind this and not Hamas. They issued a statement saying they can no longer stand idly before the continued killing of innocents and bloodshed by the Israeli occupation. Which, no intention to support this group in any way, I completely agree with that statement. We should, none of us should be able to stand idly by while they continue to kill innocent people and with this entire occupation. Now, people continue to get upset. Oh, you're sympathizing with the names that we get for continuing to support the innocent Palestinian people. Now, that's not even saying that I support Hamas. I'm saying the innocent civilians in all of this that we just casually pretend don't exist. The people living in the homes that they're bombing as they claim Hamas shot rockets, which they turn out to be wrong about. They shoot civilians, communities. They starve these people. They give them no electricity. These are civilian people. Even if the claims about Hamas are true, we just casually dismiss the fact that they're killing civilians to do this. The people that have their arguments about how we're wrong about Gaza don't ever consider that point. They don't ever put that out there. They just go along with the ridiculous Jewish claim that these are all just, they're all just terrorists. Every single person that lives in Gaza, which is ridiculous and easily debunkable. Now, throughout the night, Friday, Israel media reported that multiple Israeli settlements in the south of the country had most of their residents staying in bomb shelters. Again, the civilians, innocent people cowering for their lives as they bomb civilian territories because of claims against Hamas that they're wrong about. Now, on the Gaza side, it was chaos, apparently, as frequent explosions rocked the strip and there were broad power outages. Again, likely part of the entire intention behind this. Notably, Palestinian authorities have blamed the IDF for a direct strike on an Indonesian-sponsored hospital in the northern Gaza Strip, which appears to be confirmed in images and videos that have been all over the internet. Now, IDF official Twitter account issued a statement, not specifically naming the hospital, but just simply said, Hamas deliberately positions it next to schools, a hospital, and a mosque. For Hamas, nothing is sacred. Again, even though it's not Hamas that was behind this, they just continue to drill down on what they say is the truth. And simply saying, well, because that hospital was close to where they were, that's their fault that we bombed a hospital full of innocent people. It's so apparent what's really going on here. And hopefully people can recognize this. And again, even if what they say is true about Hamas, which you could make an argument about, which I disagree with largely, but even if it does not just simply justify all of the deaths of innocent people. It's the same thing we're seeing in Yemen as we continue to bomb buses and cars and traveling people and just say, well, we're after Iran, so it all works out. With your government, if you're an American, completely backing these actions while they continue to point the finger at people doing nothing of the kind. How do you justify that? How do you justify Donald Trump's support of that? It's an honest question. Moving on to the next story coming from South Front, this one in regard to Syria, which has kind of been a forgotten story with everything going on, entitled Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, confirms its violation of demilitarized zone agreement, vows to continue attacks. Now, this is just a quick one that I want to touch on. Just a quick note that I found to be very relevant about this story. That it's interesting that it's important to note, first of all, that Hayat Tahrir al-Sham is the group in Idlib, and many other places, but specifically in Idlib, where the United States government specifically took a back of them, stood with them against the attempts by Russia and Syria to take back their own territory. Told them, if you attack these terrorists that we're supporting, an Al-Qaeda affiliate, and, you know, incidentally, the people they claim are responsible for 9/11 as they support them and protect them against the sovereign government of Syria, they're protecting them. And this is the group that's now continuing to break the demilitarized zone, the violations of this agreement, and boasting about it. Now, the military commander of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham in the southern Aleppo countryside told the Alba News Network on October 27th that despite violating the Russian-Turkish deconfliction agreement, that they vow to retaliate against any movement of the SSA in the area. Literally claiming to just attack Syrian troops for any reason, if there's any movement in that area, which is their sovereign territory. Again, it's relevant to understand that this is the group, one of the many extremist groups that the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia directly support. Funding, backing, weapons, protection. Any number of examples we've shown on this very show. And these are the ones that are now breaking this violation. What does that say to you? The only ones breaking the de-escalation of this problem are the people that are backed by those three groups. Very important. Now, it's also important to point out that in the midst of all that's been happening in the last week, it's very interesting how previous stories, such as this one in Syria and many others, that the mainstream media were presenting as the end-all be-all threat to our democracy, just kind of get put on pause. Where they just kind of cease to exist while they're trying to sell you on this other story. Oh, be scared of pipe bombs. Oh, be scared. These things are happening. Make sure you get out there and vote. We should thank Syria and them for pausing all of their drama while we're focused on this. Thank you guys for pausing what was happening for the mainstream media. It's just very clear. Same thing I pointed out with North Korea. That they were, oh my God, something must be done, or our country's threatened bombs and democracy over and over and over. They harped, and then all of a sudden something happened and North Korea just kind of seemed to stop launching nuclear missiles and, you know, all these things. It just went on pause for us. How nice of Kim Jong-un to just stop his launching of missiles while the mainstream media wasn't paying attention. We just have to recognize how very clearly orchestrated the mainstream media is in everything that it does. Hands down, aggressively orchestrated by a very few elite people at the top. And that's why we should suspect that all the things they're reporting on, including the pipe bombs, including the shooting, are suspect. should be asked questions about very clearly. Now, to end with a positive story today, something that I'm glad I can continue to find some good stuff to talk about, because there is plenty of it out there. It just gets buried by so much of the negative that is arguably more important in a time when these things are trying to happen and manipulate your perception about them. This one I found to be very important. This one coming from Natural Blaze, entitled "Bayer Stock Crashes After Monsanto Cancer Verdict Upheld by Judge. Analysts Estimate $800 billion in Future Liabilities." Hooray. Absolutely hooray. Now, we reported on this already a couple times. She did uphold the verdict. However, she removed a lot of the money, which is kind of sad, which did show them that in a way it gave them an out, which I think that may have been the point in future court cases. There was the way that it was presented. That is what I think changed by her minimizing the way it was handled and then reducing the money for that reason. Nonetheless, this ultimately is a very positive thing. And to see this take place is we should be screaming from the rooftops about how we can make a difference. That your actions with your dollar specifically can make a tremendous difference. Now, the judge upheld the jury's decision, although changing it, a unanimous decision by jurors, deciding to just casually change the amount because she felt like it, that glyphosate-based weed killer Roundup, sold by Monsanto, now Bayer, did in fact cause California man's terminal cancer. His name was Dwayne Johnson, in fact, and that Monsanto intentionally hid this danger. That is paramount. As I pointed out, she did lower the amount of money he got, which is sad. Now, the news quickly spread and caused an immediate crash in Bayer's stock value, sending a powerful message to the agrochemical industry that they are legally and financially responsible for the adverse effects caused by their unscrupulously marketed products. Despite receiving a regulatory pass from government agencies like the EPA, the USDA, and the FDA, and have traditionally acted like their cheerleaders, these groups that are supposed to be protecting you. Funny how that works. But this, we should all be cheering about. This is how we can actually affect them, knowing that they're completely tied up with these government agencies that pretend to work for the American people. This is how we can change something if we all actually work together. And people recognize that we see what they are, and the stock price drops. Very important to see there. Now, legally responsible is important to note that no one went to jail, which is sad because they did knowingly do this. This man died because of their malicious and malfeasant actions. Well, maybe malfeasant might be the wrong word. Maybe not. I think the government's directly involved in this. Either way, they knowingly did wrong. And people deserve to go to jail for something like that. But hopefully more will change on this. Now, the good news is that this ruling ultimately affirms the company's liability for causing illness from their products and opens the door for more lawsuits and stricter regulation of agrochemicals in the future. Ian Hilliker, I believe that's how you say his name, Hilliker, and an analyst for Jefferies LLC in London, estimated in a note to clients that based on this class action lawsuit, on a class action lawsuit involving 8,700 plaintiffs believed to have cancer as a result of glyphosate exposure, Monsanto's liability could reach $800 billion. That is tremendously relevant and really does make a, that's a lot of money, even for somebody like Monsanto Bayer. Big deal. Very positive to see. As we've talked about the idea of the potential for these to cause cancer, it's very clear to me. Very clear. We've shown you that, not only that, the idea that it's everywhere. It's in the food you eat, it's in the air you breathe, it's in the clothes you're wearing, it's in your urine, as we've shown. Every member of parliament took a piss test years back to test this, and every single one of them came back positive for glyphosate. It is everywhere. It has saturated the earth, and that's a very scary concept. Or at least this country, anyway, or the West, I should say. But this is tremendous. And we need to continue to do these kind of things. We need to continue to work together to draw attention to groups like this so that happens. We affect them where it matters to them. And change can happen. Good things can happen. So bear that in mind. Thank you for joining me today. Make sure you look for the interview tomorrow with Whitney Webb. This might be the last show for a couple of days as I go off for some personal things that I have to take care of, but there will be shows in the very near future. I can still promise 5 shows a week no matter what. Whitney Webb's interview will be coming out. I really recommend you check that out because it's a lot of important things to check out. But thank you so much for joining me today. Make sure you research all this information. Spread the word. Make sure you join us in the TLAV Wire community. Download the Wire app. If you're not getting notifications for these shows, it's a way that we can ping all the people in that community and let you know that we're actually having a live show despite YouTube not wanting to tell you. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.